We are so blessed. I've been led to, for this particular Sunday, also in light of the storm, to take a Sunday off from our series in the Sermon on the Mount and look at a Psalm chapter 121, that shows us the watch care of our Lord over our lives. The watch care of our Lord over our lives. And so, the subject and title of our message today is, My Help Comes from the Lord. And that's in our text. My help comes from the Lord. It is Psalms chapter 121. It is actually the second of many psalms that are titled A Song of Degrees. These are songs that Israel would sing as they marched to Zion, so to speak, marched to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on the festival, on the feast days. And so, let's first look here, and I'm also going to look at some of the other psalms that go along with it. Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. May we pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you are our keeper and the one who preserves our soul. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe in the midst of the storm. That literal storm that came through this past week. Father, we are so blessed in this area where we live that we were spared the worst of it. But help us, Father, to help those in need in South Georgia, North Florida, and other parts of the Southeast and other places, those that have been devastated by the hurricane. And I pray, Father, that you will strengthen their heart and also help them to remember how blessed they are for you, Lord, sparing their lives. I do understand that there were some that did lose their lives, and I pray for their families and friends at this time. Bless us now as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of our lips, I pray, be acceptable unto you, our God and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is faithful in watching over all of His children. It's been said in years gone by, I've heard it said of ministers, that He watches over us in dangers seen and unseen. We can see a few of the dangers in our lives, but I dare say there's probably more unseen dangers that we never know about, that the Lord protects us from. no doubt there have been many times when God has protected us from a horrible car wreck on the highway. Maybe even sometimes that when we were not even aware of it, God has protected us. Because He is our keeper and our preserver. Now, the Lord never promised that we would not have trouble, trial, and afflictions in this life. The troubles and trials come, whether it be in the form of a literal storm or in the trials of life that we battle in the spiritual realm, because we are in a battle between good and evil. There is a warfare between God and His host and the devil and his host. Now, God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, has already won the victory. Paul says it, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are already victorious over death, and already we have victory in our life today. So, regardless of what storms come, whether they be literal storms or spiritual storms and spiritual warfare, we have victory in Jesus, don't we? Victory in Jesus. Just like He says, for example, in Psalms chapter 120, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." In the times of our distress, we cry out to the Lord. He hears our cry. His ears are open to our supplications. And we are to pray, "Lord, deliver my soul from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue," and all of these things that would seek to tear us down. So the psalmist says then in our text in Psalms 121:1, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Now, some translators say that should be a question instead of a declarative statement. We may say, does our help actually come from the hills and mountains? No, they don't. Well, I think the picture here was of when Israel of old would fortify themselves in the hills and mountains against their enemies. And there were times when they forgot God, that's a Bible word, they forgot God, they forgot the Lord, and looked more toward the fortifications of mountains to protect them. But our help does not come from the hills and mountains, but rather from the Lord Himself. As a matter of fact, the prophet Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah chapter 3. He begins in verse 22 in the context there by saying, Jeremiah 3:22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." We need to come to Him because He is the Lord our God, Jehovah Elohim. "Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. So right there in Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he wept over the sin and the backsliding of God's people. And it was there at that time that the Babylonians came in and overthrew Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took Judah into Babylonian captivity. Because they forsook God and worshipped and served idols, they turned to the hills and mountains more than God. But he says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains, but truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. In other words, the Lord is our deliverer. He's our deliverer eternally. When Jesus came into the earth, well over 2,000 years ago, born of the Virgin Mary, living a sinless life, going to the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, and rising again from the dead on the third day. He secured our eternal salvation. But not only has He secured our eternal salvation, He is with us every day, being our keeper and our preserver. Yes, He is our keeper and preserver eternally. Heaven will be our home if we're born of God's Holy Spirit. But yet He also keeps us in this life. Now again, I say this again, He never promised that we would not have storms in life, but He has promised to be with us, hasn't He? And to see us through those storms in life. Over there in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the writer says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." That is, let the manner in which you live your lives be free from wanting what others have, and be content with such things as you have. Oh, and there's other places in 1 Timothy and other places where the Lord's Bible says that we are to be thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. For He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Never alone is one of our hymns. He has promised never to leave us alone, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is my helper. Every day of our lives, He helps us along the way. He is our comforter. The Holy Spirit, who lives in our heart, comforts us every day. Jesus says in John chapter 14, He said, "I will pray to my Father," in verse 16 of John 14, "and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it," the world, "sees Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you." the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as if you were orphaned, but I will come unto you, and God's Spirit will be in our heart forever. And He says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There's that security, that double security. Jesus is in the hands of our Heavenly Father, and we are in the hands of Jesus. So there is double security there, you see. And so He is with us every step of the way. Now in our text, Psalm 121, He says again in verse 2, My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God made all things by Jesus Christ in the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 3, He will not suffer or permit thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He preserves us, you see. He will not permit our foot to be moved. Over in Psalm chapter 37, David said this in verse 23 of Psalm 37. 37 and 23 of Psalms. The steps of a good man, they are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. The good man delights in the ways of the Lord, and the Lord delights in the steps of the good man. Though he fall or stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. He holds us by the hand. We're all familiar with the poem of the footprints in the sand, aren't we? And the times in our lives when there were only one set of footprints, we might ask, where are you, Lord? And He says, those are the times when I carry you, when I'm holding you with my hand. And so, He is the one who holds us with His hand, so that our feet do not stumble, you see. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God is not a man that He would need sleep or rest. He is God. He is eternal, with no beginning and no ending. And as God, He needs no rest. He needs no sleep. His eyes are always upon His children. Verse 4 says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Aren't you thankful for that? Even when we lay ourselves down at night to bed, to go to sleep, He is with us, watching over us. The Lord is thy keeper. He keeps us. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, so that the sun will not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. He'll give us shade in those times. Let's see some other verses that give us these promises. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Psalm 16 and verse 8. Where He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He protects us. He's our foundation. He is our rock. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh shall rest in hope. Now, the remainder of those verses in Psalm 16 is a prophecy, literally a prophecy, of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, that is Sheol, the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus never saw corruption, even when he yielded up his spirit to his Heavenly Father on the cross, and they put his body in the barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, his body did not see any corruption during those 3 days and 3 nights. Thou wilt show me the path of life. For in thy presence, in the presence of Jesus, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There is joy in the presence of Jesus. J-O-Y. Put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And so we find, there's another example of this in Psalms 109 and verse 31. Psalms 109, verse 31. Psalm 109, 31. For he shall stand. Let's get verse 30. Psalm 109, 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. That is, in the midst of the church. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, God will, to save him from those that condemn his soul. The Lord stands at the right hand of the poor. He stands by those who are in need, if you will. And then look at Isaiah 25 and verse 4. Isaiah 25 and verse number 4. This is a prophecy of the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 4 of Isaiah 25, we'll get verse 3 as well. Therefore shall the strong people glorify the Lord, the city of the terrible nations shall fear the Lord, for thou hast been a strength unto the poor and a strength to the needy in their distress, a refuge from the storm. He is a refuge from the storms of life, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is like a storm against the wall, the Lord is our protector. That's what he's saying. He is a refuge from the storm. Look with me in Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength. That is, he is our hiding place. And he is a very present help in trouble. Whether it be trouble from the wicked that live in the world, or whether it be natural disasters, he is our present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, natural disasters, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We will not fear, because he is a present help. But he says in verse number 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And this speaks of Jesus as the river of life. He is the fountain of life. Jesus said to the woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4, He said, "If you had asked me, I would have given you living water that would be in your soul like a spring of water springing up to everlasting life that will quench our thirsty souls." So he says, there is a river, the streams thereof, that make glad God's children, the city of God, the church, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. For God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of His church today. God shall help her, and that right early. That means that He is always on time. He's never late. He's always on time. And He will help us because the Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob, He is our refuge. And then verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of the storm, be still and know. What did Jesus say when they were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee? He said, "Peace, be still." And immediately the waves ceased and the waters were calm. You find that account in Matthew chapter 14, I believe it is. Matthew 14. If you will, look with me there in verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain to pray apart." Jesus prayed often, and when evening was come, He was there alone praying. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossing with waves. The wind was contrary. There was a storm brewing. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit, crying out for fear." But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And there again, here's the occasion where Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water. And Jesus says to him, and Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." Now, Peter had a faith in Jesus. He knew that Jesus could sustain him. And so Jesus says to Peter, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind being boisterous, he was afraid. The high winds of the storm. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me. Save me, Lord." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him by His hand, saying to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And so you see, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. There's the other occasion too where He said, "Peace be still." Look in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look in Mark chapter 4. He stills the storm. Mark 4:35. "The same day when evening was come, Jesus says to His disciples, 'Let's pass over unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And once again there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship, so that it was now full of water. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, and he was asleep on a pillow. Jesus was asleep. He had no worry about the storm, did he? He was the one who created all things. And they wake him up, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Yes, he cares. And he arose. Jesus arose. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. Then there was a great calm. So here in the other account, he says, "O ye of little faith." Here he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So in one account, he said, "You have little faith." Here, he said, "You even have no faith." Where is our faith today? An untested faith is an insufficient faith. Our faith is tested by the storms of life so that it may grow like a muscle that must be used to grow strong. Then they feared exceeding, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He's the master of the wind and the sea. Finally, in closing, the last two verses of Psalms 121 say this, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." Now that word evil there can mean calamities, and it can also mean natural disasters, storms. "He shall preserve your soul." The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.